Greetings, I present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on CFRU.ca. I am your Master Overseer, Nicholas Cooper. We will be looking inward and beyond at progressive rock, the branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative genres, a reverent anomaly, and other unique discoveries near and far. Join me as we gaze into the audible lens out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon. Welcome, my good sentries, to an audience in the Observational Tower, the music interview series that I conduct through the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at CFRU 93.3 FM and on CFRU.ca. Today, we are skewed to focus our gaze upon La Greffe, a Montreal progressive folk art rock band, with whom I had the utmost thrill and pleasure hosting here in our royal city of Guelph this past September. They performed live here for the first time in my new SMK concert curation series at the ANAF Club alongside Toronto's Art the Band and Guelph's own The Naked Harpist and Mark Honestly. In my opinion, Le Greffe are a shining, eclectic pillar in the Canadian progressive music scene, and certainly a cornerstone feature throughout the SMK radio program's history. I was happy, cathartic, and dazzled to finally meet the entire band in person after all these years of distant communication. I got the bonus opportunity to record this upcoming chat with Le Greffe a few hours before their Guelph debut performance. Let us now experience the magical, mysterious past, present, and future of Le Greffe. Greetings, good centuries, to a brand new audience in the Observational Tower. I'm here in CFRU's recording studios with a Montreal band called Le Greffe. All the members, in fact. Why don't you all introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Hi, what's up? The name is Max. I play the guitar.
And I'm Pierre. I play the guitar and I sing, and I play a bunch of other instruments too.
I'm Jeremy. I play the drums.
Hi, I'm Mary. I'm a cellist.
Hello, I'm Sam, and I play the bass and synth.
Awesome. I think we have too many people here. We have to swing around the mic there. But I'm very stoked and wondrous to have you all here in Guelph, in person.
It's really a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. How are you all feeling today? I heard that you, it was a long drive all the way from Quebec.
Pretty hot outside, actually.
A lot of traffic in Toronto.
But it's fine. Must have been, the heat has been really hot. It's almost like summer again.
Yeah. It's true. It's fine. I love it.
Nice. This is an exciting day for all of us with this interview, and then for later this evening in which this interview is being recorded on. I'm incredibly happy to have you here, and we'll actually get into what will be happening later tonight on this day in later in the interview. But why don't we start at the beginning, the birth of Le Greffe? How did the band start up?
A long time ago. I think it's maybe around 2007.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Started with an idea I had in high school, then I started jamming with Max, and then we had a bunch of ideas to make a band that mixed classical music with rock, and then we went into a prog rock genre.
Yeah, we started out pretty dance.
It was a big mix because Max is from a metal background and I'm more like 70s, 60s. So it was really a big mashup. Yeah. But we kind of figured out how to make it happen. And then 1 year later, Mary arrived, and that's when we realized that's the sound we wanted. And that's
She really brought the more classical approach to our song. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds interesting, having the heavy metal background.
We all changed a lot, actually. But,
Yeah, because I don't think, having listened to your music, I can now kind of maybe get a sense of the metal, but it's not that apparent.
No, definitely not.
It's more in the intensity, because we used to play a lot with distortion, and I remember some guy asked us after a show, like, the distortion is too much, it's too saturated. So we went like, okay, let's play classic and try to be as loud as we can, clean. So that's the approach we did.
Yeah, we really went with a much more cleaner sound and the guitar.
So it was you, Pierre, and Max that started the band.
Well, Sam was there first,
Sam
too.
That's true. Yeah. Hey, Sam. From across the room. Actually, I guess originally you had a different drummer than...
For like 1 year, it didn't work out. Actually, we started, me and Max, and then it was with Sam. Mary joined the band, and then he went to college and everything. So we dropped the band for a while, and we had another... Well, we played for 3 years with other bassists. And after a while, he came back to the band, and we found Jay as the drummer. He's pretty recent. It's been maybe 2 years.
And it's a good fit?
It's a good
fit. He's a good fit?
it's typical of prog rock bands of having a lot of drummers. So, yeah, we had like maybe 8 or 9 drummers. It's pretty hard to... It's hard to compose with us, too. It's I have to say that. It takes a long time. We scrap a lot of songs. We redo it again. So we have to find a right fit for,
yeah,
for the
Jay
band.
Yeah, Jay's definitely patient.
Yeah.
Yeah, good that on helps. You, Jay. How would you describe LaGriff musically? Like, you've already kind of alluded to it,
mm-hmm.
but what will give us a good description?
I really like the term art rock, because we went into indie rock, some people say prog rock and everything, but I think art rock is the best fit for us, because we do a lot of indie rock, and then we go into progressive stuff, but we do love pop music, but in we needed to we bring it in an interesting way. It needs to be interesting to be playable, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, art rock is pretty much the style I'm aiming for, especially because we in sense of the lyrics, it's stories. I try always to have some good artists for the artworks. Actually, in Book of Reverie, it's artworks from one artist that I really liked, and I asked him to do the artworks for every song. So we try to mix everything, even the dance, because our first video clip was with a choreographer. I'm saying that right. All right.
Yeah.
So, So we mix pretty much all the arts. So this is why we call it art rock. And I don't want to be in one box. I want to do pretty much everything. If one day we can do some rap, but make it interesting.
Yeah.
This is why it's called LaGriff, though. It used to be called The Graft, but for some reason we found it interesting to switch it in French, because maybe it's more exotic for the English-speaking people, LaGriff. So we kept singing in English, but the name stayed in French, and it's pretty much because it's a mix of styles.
Hmm. What does LaGriff mean, or where did it come from?
Because we all came from different backgrounds. She comes from a classical background. I come from like a more classic rock. He's more metal. So we found it was like a good fit to call it LaGriff, because it's really a mix of styles, because we all come from a different background.
Or you did mention that you're always looking to make your music interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of elements in your music do you think sticks out?
That's a really good question, I guess. Do you have any thoughts on that, Max?
Well, I feel like we try to keep the structures of the songs quite pop-ish, in the sense that it's like A, B, A, B, C.
So a simple structure.
Yeah, a more simple structure sometimes, but then take the same song and add a twist to it at the end, and just a part that is really kind of random, but kind of recall the first parts. And I don't know, it's pretty hard to describe, mm-hmm. actually, but yeah, sometimes we think about starting with simple stuff and trying to make it more complex as we go along. So.
Oh, Sam wants the mic.
I got something.
He wants to say something.
Yeah. Just like Max said, the simple structure, but with complex rhythm sometimes, like, not just 4-4, 3-4, 7-5. We can count over than 4, so it's good. You can do some complex rhythm, and you will see it tonight.
I guess what is your, for your music, what's the song writing process for you guys?
It depends. A lot of times I start with a theme. I always bring the theme of the songs, with the imageries or the feeling I want to have. Sometimes I bring like some ideas or a finished song, but most of the time it's really a mix of everything. Like sometimes Max brings up a riff that I find really interesting, and it's really and we start with that. We just compose a song around that riff. Perhaps I can tell the story of Quicksand. Quicksand is actually two songs. I started the first part playing the piano and singing, and I was stuck in one part, and then he shoot that part. I came with another
song that wasn't meant to fit in this one, but in the end we just kind of started to tag them together. And
yeah, so it's definitely two separate songs that we just mash up together. That's one of our strongest points. It's like a puzzle. We use a lot of riffs, and we just try to like
mix and mash them together.
Yeah.
So is it mainly you and Max who are the songwriters, or does everyone contribute?
Well, everyone has his own part. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can like guide people sometimes, but we all compose our own.
I do a little bit more in sense of the theme of the songs and everything, but we do pretty much everything together, and the influences, we keep it inside, because sometimes Max can play something that influences me or make me think about something, or even Sam or Mary or me, even Jay. So it's pretty much it's Le Graph. It's a mix.
Nice. Going back to the prog influence, I like to play a lot of progressive rock music of different kinds, including yours. How would you define prog in today's modern age?
Well, I don't really. The modern prog to me really sounds something like more aggressive, like more distortions and solos and stuff like that, at least from what I know. But
it's pretty much metal now.
Yeah.
If you look at prog rock, it's metal. I prefer when it's more cleaner. I prefer the how it used to be, like some bands like Genesis. I feel like there's some elements that wasn't pushed enough. That we can, like the 12 string, I don't hear any 12 strings on records these days, except for overdubbing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I believe there's something to do more with that instrument, or some parts, or some instrumentation. But
I guess we try to keep like the old school sense of what prog was, and we don't really listen to today's prog, so it's kind of hard to
Well, there's a lot of judge. Prog everywhere. It's just that it's not... Like, there's a band we really love. It's Grizzly Bear. For me, Grizzly Bear...
I've played them on the show.
For me, it's prog. Yeah. Anything that doesn't have a regular structure, and it doesn't necessarily need to be like 20-minute song and speaking about Dungeons and Dragons stuff, because that's usually the what people
the imagery
feel like
that people get.
But it's not like that nowadays. It's more like there's no structure. It's not A, B, C, D. It's just anything you want, and different time signatures, and it's just anything that is not in a box, that is not like the mainstream music, that is not the regular strict structure that we always hear.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of saying it, because I've also expanded my like overall meaning of progressive music, not mm-hmm. just like musically, but also the content and the lyrics as well. Do you find that as well? Like what, like world issues?
Well, for the first album, because a lot of those songs was written in our early 20s, so there's a lot that we composed since then, and at first the idea that I wanted with the lyrics, it's not talk about politics or about the world with the issues and everything, because I just wanted people to just enjoy the music and just get off and just surf on the cloud and forget all their problems. So this is why I invented some stories, because I really love Genesis. We're big fans of Genesis. Peter, especially the Peter Gabriel era. And that's what motivates me for doing that like that. But since I'm a little bit older, I've changed a little bit my tone, and I'm more oriented in politics, and I look a lot of what's happening with the planet, and it's it influences me a lot with the new lyrics now. So it's getting more political.
Yeah,
now.
I think that for the second album, it's much more engaged and less theatrical than it was for the first one.
So. Okay. Like, we'll get into both of these sections shortly, but comparing the two, do you find your musical strength and representation lies in your recorded material or live performances?
I think both.
A little bit of both, but yeah. I think we have something more in the live, because some people have heard the record and it didn't click at first, but when they saw us live, there was something else.
Yeah, that's something that usually happens.
Yeah.
We have strong strong points in live for sure, but I feel like with the album we can play more around with stuff that wouldn't necessarily happens live. So, and there's more fun to have for the, in the composition, like for the album, and we tend to be more strict when we play live. We kind of always play the same way we do so.
Okay.
Well, we don't jump really. Sometimes a lot.
Yeah, sometimes.
sometimes a lot. It depends.
I guess it depends, right?
Like the last show we did, it basically we had like maybe 5 or 6 songs. We just decided in the middle of the set of adding some stuff for fun because we were just good with the with all that. I don't know. It changes. It's difficult to tell.
Or that's, I think that's interesting, be saying that like the composition recording is more exploratory than the live, mm-hmm. where you could probably do, or most bands would say they would do, be able to do more in a live performance.
Yeah, but at the end we don't really change the song, like in our practice once we've played it live, unless okay. we really found something like an epiphany about it. But usually, it will be in the composition process that we will actually change the songs and less from what we do live. We can sometimes jam and do stuff, but that never means that we will repeat that.
There's also the fact that it's our first album, it's our first experience recording, and we all did it DIY. The mixing, we paid someone, and we did it with some really great people. But the recording, the actual recording, actually, she did it all. She's a sound engineer, Mary, and it was pretty much DIY. So sometimes I hear the recording, there's still some stuff that I'm like, I should have done it like that, or should have done it this way or that way. Mm-hmm. So this is why I believe in our live performance are a little bit better, because we tend to update the song sometimes. Like Masquerade, the ending in the album is completely different from what we do it live. It's more post-rock.
Okay.
So, I get tired of songs really quickly, too. After 1 year, I'm like, I'm sick of hearing it. I just want to compose another one.
Maybe going back to your influences, maybe we can do a roundabout to say maybe favorite artist or maybe an album that influences you in maybe your music or listening. So we'll maybe start with Max.
Well, what really influenced the band at first, I think, commonly we all loved, I think was their first album, and the second one from Malajub, a French Montreal band. I think this really brought us together because we all really liked those albums. And I guess that's what really started the foundation of what we kind of sound today. Yeah.
So what's the band called again?
Malajub.
Malajub.
Really great band. Mm-hmm. For me, it's pretty much, I'd say, a mix between Gorillaz and Genesis. That's pretty much, it's been such a great influence on me, especially the cartoons and all the stories that made a lot of influence on me for the stories in Le Greff and Genesis, because obviously Peter Gabriel with all the costumes. But yeah, that's pretty much...
Oh yeah, that's something to talk about later, about costumes and stuff. Jay, what about your...
Go for it, man.
I don't know, man.
Two albums,
I would say. Well, first of all, as a drummer, I love energy. So I would like to say some guy like Marco Miniman. I love their work. I love Phil Collins. There's a lot of drummers that have their kind of personality and manage to reach, I guess, the audience. And I like that in a lot of them. I don't know.
Very good.
I don't know what to add.
For me, for the strings, I really liked Mousserine Republics and WizKids. So WizKids, sorry. So I listened to the strings and I tried to do something like that because it's like a movie in music. So I tried to do it with La Greffe.
Yes, and me, my two CDs is Pink Floyd Any Era. All of the eras are great. And more recently, Interpol. It's a band that I liked. And the bass player before is amazing. All his line from all the CDs. The new ones also. It's one of the only band that was good before. And now,
still today. They're
Spotify.
After Spotify, yeah. After everything, they're still good.
Hi, this is Pierre
and Mary
of La Greffe, and you're listening to SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web at CFRU.ca.
Now let's delve into the recorded material, because that could probably take up a lot of time.
Okay.
Actually, first, even before the main album, it was... You released an EP in 2015, but that's all music that goes on to the main album?
Exactly, yeah.
Was there any difference in the recording?
Not really. It's just pretty much the mixing was DIY. That's the big difference. So, we really wanted... Because we work with the producer who did the album of Malajub, and as Max said, it's one of the biggest influence on us when we started. So we were really stoked to work with that guy, and he really loved our music. So it's pretty much a little dream come true for us.
Good. So it was, I guess, the EP was a taste tester for listeners to your music,
because a lot of people were telling us like, there's no CDs and I want to buy your music. So we did, okay, we'll do something DIY. Actually, the picture on that, it's me with the costume. She took the picture. It went into a forest that we found. We find it really nice and interesting with all the leaves. So it's all DIY.
Or what are you dressed up as?
Sazos. It's
one of the characters in the album.
He's like the puppet master.
All right.
He controls the stories. He owns the book.
All right, we'll get into that now for 2017's Book of Reverie. Why don't I let you go at it? What is the Book of Reverie?
A lot to tell, but I'll do it really shortly. It's a story about a book that you can write anything in it and everything happens. And what I did with the album is I cut the album in half. So there's one part where you follow the story of Ephergal. You follow his story from his youth when he meets his wife and everything until his when all the... I won't tell all the story so the listeners will... But yeah, you follow the story of one man, and then the other ones is the stories that you find in the actual book. Because in the story, Ephergal, in the first part, he finds the book and he tries to write it down and everything. And the first thing that he writes is, I want a friend, because he's all alone. He lives in the woods. And there's a cat that appears. And we really love cats.
Oh, yeah?
So I really wanted to introduce something like that in the story.
Oh, nice.
So, but after a while, you can see all the stories in the book, and the stories are the six or the five last songs of the album. So it's pretty much a mashup of the stories, and Sazos is the main character, if I can say that. It's he's more like the dark side of the album. He represents the death, the master of puppets, if I can say. He's the one who owns the book, and he's the one he lives forever, as the song says. And he likes to play around with people, so he purposely gives the book to people, so they can write anything, and a world creates when they do that. So they sometimes it's always bad luck that happens, usually, especially when people writes bad stuff, bad intended stuff in it. But I forgot it won't happen, because he asked for a friend. But the story of Fortuna, if I'm correct, is this one? Yeah, the guy, he asked for fortune, and finally, because he's really greedy and everything, and what happens? Well, he gets cut by the storm, and he gets ashore, he gets lost in the sea, and that's when quicksand starts, and he's stranded in an island, because he wished for something that was greedy. I think that sums up a little. It's a little bit...
You can probably talk a little bit more on that.
Yeah.
So I guess the album is 13 songs, I believe?
Yeah, 13.
So where does the... I guess the first half is Real Life with
exactly.
Efrig Al, which is actually... Isn't that... That's Le Greff backwards, right?
Exactly. You're the first person who told us that, yeah.
And then so... Where does the dream dark side begin?
It starts after Efrigal.
So that's Sazos.
Yeah, exactly.
Sazos.
It introduces a character and everything, and you can actually see him in the earlier pictures of the real world part. You can see Sazos in the back, so it implies that he's there all along from the two stories. He's mm-hmm. always in the back, always pulling the strings.
Yeah, for each of the songs, like on the Bandcamp page, mm-hmm. each song has its own artwork,
mm-hmm, exactly.
which I think really adds to the whole concept album mm-hmm. portion of Book of Reverie. Where did these specific ideas like come from, and how long did it take you to make this story up?
Well, it started with an idea, and after, because like maybe Feline Crime or Oscar, I think we started creating that song maybe when I was 20, and like we're all 30, so yeah. It's 10 years ago, and we started with those two songs. So I started with a little idea, and then after the years came up, I just added some stuff, and I like to create some stuff, and then leave it there and wait a little bit, because it adds so much after a while. You have a second thought when you come back, and there's some stuff that you didn't thought at first because you were so much into it. But it took a couple of years, and it's pretty much inspiration from anything, from stuff that I see on TV, from stories that I know, from my personal life. It's an interpretation of stuff that I encounter in my daily life.
What would be like for if anyone wants to jump in on this? What would mm-hmm. be your most or which song off the album connects with you most, or like you like to
like a
perform?
Favorite song?
Yeah,
I really like Feline Crying. That's one of my favorite ones. Do you have a favorite one, Max?
Yeah, I'd say it would be Oscar the Skeleton.
I like that one too. It's like it's a mini story within the whole album.
And the whole theatrical aspect that Pierre does is really nice. So I kind of fell in love with. That's when I knew that it was a good idea to go theatrical with this album. So
it's true, right? I remember the first time we started playing. Oscar, and she was there for the first time, and she had a guitar. She thought she could play guitar with us and everything, and but she had the cello too, so we were like, try the cello, we're just gonna jam and see what's going to happen. And she did the first line, I think, in the intro, and we all looked at each other and like, that this is it, this is the style we want.
This is the song.
I still remember that day. It's really was really awesome.
It was really a defining moment. That's
so, Mary, you entered with a guitar first, not even a cello,
because at that time we were really a rock band. So
I played cello for 22 years, and I thought I was good at guitar, but these are very good guitarists, so I sucked at guitar. So, okay, maybe I should take my cello. Maybe it's something new. It's something I know way better than guitar. So I took my cello, and I just started to play with them, and it sounds really great. We had a lot of ideas together, and that's how I was in the band, so I'm not a good guitarist. Point.
She's good. She doesn't believe in herself. I know. You're really good.
No, cello. No, cello is my favorite string instrument. Also because I like the bass end with I play bass clarinet.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah.
So we're the bass team.
Bass team, yeah. Same with Sam.
Yeah.
So from Book of Reverie, there are many stories, but is there an overall or arching important, like moral or lesson to be taken away from listening to the album?
There's some morals in some of the songs. There's all the time, well, most of the songs there's a double entendre. But yeah, I really wanted to talk about like humanity, I don't know the name in English. I don't remember the name.
Say it in French.
I don't even remember. I have a blank. Sorry. Yeah, in Portuguese. Misère humaine. Yeah, human misery. The daily people's life, it's just like that. Like, Efregal's story is just horrible. He meets his love of his life, and then he needs to go to war. And after a while, as most wars, he finds that it's really stupid, and he needs to leave. But usually when you leave war, you're a deserter. So he leaves war, and his wife is gone because he's a deserter. She doesn't want to stay with him. And this is the reason why he freaks out, and he goes by himself living in a forest. So it's just, I don't know, it's just something that inspires me. I'm not really someone that is depressive in life, but all those dark stuff inspires me a lot.
Yeah, because there's a little darkness in all of us, and yeah.
I don't know, it just felt right at the time to do it this way. I'm taking another approach with the new songs. I'm trying to connect with Book of Reverie. I really like the I'm a really big Star Wars fan, and I know that George Lucas he left some blank stuff in the stories to fill it up after a while. Oh. And I did a little bit of that because I'm like, if I don't like it, I'll leave it like that. But if someday I like it, I can always connect the story. So I leave it with like a to be continued or something. So yeah. But I'm taking a new approach on the new songs, more direct. There's still a story behind that, but I'm more trying to take a modern approach with all the technology and what's happening with the environment. It's just it inspires me a lot. Something like a human falling in love with a robot, it inspires me for that. There's a lot of things that I'm writing about that around those ideas.
A more sci-fi.
Yeah, look. Yeah. This is why the synth is there. Actually,
to add more.
There's only two stuff that I asked the band at first when we started, and the first thing I said is the future of Le Greff. I really want some piano because it adds the classical stuff in it, and some synths because it covers a lot of range in the audio spectrum, and I really want it to be thick, and there's a lot of harmonies, and still be dynamic in our songs.
Yeah, and I guess quite diverse as well in maybe the songwriting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or that actually answered my next question about the new music. Or how far along is that music?
It's almost done. It takes me a lot of time to compose the lyrics. Unfortunately, I take way too much time. I correct myself over and over again.
Are you the main lyricist for the band?
Yeah, I write the lyrics pretty much for all the songs. And this is why I told earlier that I bring the theme. Usually they bring all the songs and the ideas and the rest, and when I have some riffs, they're like, oh, you should do it like that and that and that. But I bring the theme and the lyrics, although I'm open for the lyrics. If Max or Sam brings some lyrics, I'm open to incorporate it in it if it works. But yeah, it's more a little bit more sci-fi, more direct, and it's almost done. We're still waiting for because we want a grant to help us record it and have a better quality into it. Mm-hmm. But if we do it, it might be an album. But fortunately, we have a lot of songs, so we
a lot
might
of songs to pick.
Yeah. We just need to check which song fits more with the other. But yeah, it's for an EP of 6 songs. It's pretty much ready. There's like 4 songs that need some lyrics, but we can play it from A to B without any problem.
Well, that'll be very exciting to hear when that comes out. You'll get lots of airplay.
Tonight at the show, we will play like 3 songs of the, maybe one that doesn't have lyrics. I'm gonna play an instrumental. I don't mind. Yeah, I like to test the songs before to see the reaction of the people.
I am all for that. For you to test out your songs.
But there's two songs that are finished, at least.
So. Well, that'll be grand when it comes out. So let's get into the live performances. Uh-huh. You did mention the word, which I hadn't thought of before, theatrical.
Yep.
So there is a theatrical element to your performances. So why don't you?
I try the best that I can do. I really wanted to have an approach like I said earlier, like Genesis, Peter Gabriel, and all what he did was really influential for me. So I'm trying to incorporate some of these elements. I have some masks. I interpret some characters from a Book of Reverie, like Treehouse and Efergal. I have like the soldier helmet because he's a soldier in the story. What else do I have? Oscar the Skeleton. I actually do a lot of in this one. That's one of the biggest song where I do a lot of theatrical stuff in it. I have the mask. I have the other mask of the cat Balthazar that is in the story. So I try to do the best that I can with that. I think when I started, I had a too big picture in my head for what it is, because now it's really tough to bring all that stuff and have the money for that. And it doesn't work as much as it worked in the 70s, I guess. So, but it's still there. I'm still pushing for that, and I'm trying to find some new ways for the new songs. Like there's one song, because I had the mask of Sazos, but I didn't have any song in Book of Reverie that I can do the character. So there's a one song that I do it, and I really love it. I have the word in French, I don't remember, Monsieur Gotti.
You help yourself.
I help myself.
Yeah, you treat yourself.
I treat myself doing one song that I only have the microphone. Well, the only half of the song with a microphone, and I have the mask and the cloak and everything. I really love that. And I'm trying to push a little bit in that and trying to find some ways, because nowadays it's really it's not just the songs to bring up the focus of everyone. So I'm trying to find some other ways to like videos, maybe in the back, like Pink Floyd used to do. We're trying to find some new masks. I found a place in Montreal that has a mask with LEDs, and it vibrates with the rhythm of the song, so it flashes and everything. So we're still experimenting with because as I said earlier, when I started, it was really too big for what we could actually do. So I'm trying to
thinking
find
too
a way.
Far ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but it's still there. I'm still trying to do a lot of theatrical stuff. If it's not there, it's gonna be replaced a little bit with some video support or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because I really want people to come to the show and enjoy the songs as well as the stories and have something just to immerse the most.
Maybe like augment the music, but not to distract.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe more of that.
So is it mainly you, Pierre, that does all the masks? And I didn't know you had a cloak as well.
Yeah, it's a half a cloak. It's something that I bought in a girl store because it was the best. It's a poncho, poncho cloak. So it's you'll see it later. Yeah, I use that, and but I pretty much do the all the theatrical stuff. There's one song that he does. I play one part
at the end of Oscar. Of Oscar the Skeleton. Yeah.
I was going to say, if does anyone else in the band take on any roles in the theatricality?
For now, no, because a lot of people told us to go all in and wear all masks. I didn't want to resemble Slipknot, but I really wanted to focus more on the music and just have like the theatrical stuff more like a add-on to the music to immerse more into the story.
And there's much more room for us, like the bass and both guitars that are standing, and having access to masks is more easier, as it's way easier than the, let's say, at the drums in the back end to show off like an act, per se.
So how do you feel about the Montreal music scene, and how do you guys fit into it?
Good question. It's hard to say, because when we started, we got all influenced by all the indie rock movement that was into Montreal, like Arcade Fire. There was Wolf Parade, Malajuba, as Max said earlier, and a lot of great bands came out of Montreal in that 2006, 2007, when we started. And there was a lot of good scene there. A lot of people told us that we resembled the scene of the Milan scene, which is more like Arcade Fire and stuff like that. But nowadays, it's been a long time since we did a show in Montreal, and I don't know what's the scene. Maybe I'm getting too old. But now it's really saturated. There's a lot of kinds of styles. I see a lot of psychedelic rock, like the 60s vibe. I see a lot of that. So it's a little bit in our vibe, I guess, because we love a lot of the 60s and 70s. But I don't know. We're like the black sheep. We don't find quite a lot of bands like us. We do a lot of gigs with some bands that have different styles than us, but at some point has some elements like folk or 60s rock or something like that. But I don't know, I think we're pretty much a different band. I don't have any idea.
But I think it's really, the scene is kind of diverse, I think.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to pinpoint one style that you'd say that's the Montreal sound, so...
It changed a lot, and I'm not really as fluent as I was back in the days about all what's going on in Montreal. Kind of do my stuff, and I just go by the flow. That's it.
Yeah, most of the gigs we saw recently were kind of all math rock shows.
So yeah, there's a lot of good math rock scene. Yeah.
The scene is really strong in Montreal.
For that, yeah.
Well, yeah, like I think Toronto as well is getting some rock. Math rock influence in some bands. What kind of, or what bands in Montreal are doing the math rock?
Shout out Gopher.
The best are really, really, really good. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're one of the top, I guess, in Montreal.
Well,
they tour everywhere.
They are, for sure.
Yeah, to me too. But yeah, there's a lot of other bands, but I don't, I'm not really into that scene. But yeah, there's quite a good scene in that. Even Jay has his own math rock band.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Jay, you want to shout that out for us? Come on.
Yeah, it's called At Tupil. So yeah, check it out.
Soon.
Soon on the internet.
Do you have a Facebook page or Instagram or something? Not yet, huh?
Oh, it's just brand new then.
Yeah.
It is actual. His first show was last Saturday with us.
Oh,
yes,
nice!
You did the double gig.
I'll be on the lookout for that. Now, I guess speaking of concerts, now you have driven all the way from Montreal to here in Guelph. Your first time in Guelph.
Yes.
Just from the first impressions driving through, how do you feel about Guelph?
Well, we kind of rushed in, so we haven't taken the time to look around, but it really seems lovely to me.
I guess, what do you think of the radio station then, of CFRU?
It's beautiful. I really love it.
It's crazy clean, like.
Yeah, it's more cleaner than the other universities that I know. I won't mention that.
Well, thank you for saying that.
You're on strike.
You're on strike, you say? Oh, didn't hear about that. Anyway, so, yeah.
So this is your first time in Guelph because you are going to be headlining one of my SMK concert curations tonight. To make this officially the date, Saturday, September 21st at the ANAF Club, for the appropriately named show Reverie of Peace, because also today is International Day of Peace. And also, you're my first, if I can say so, the first official prog rock band that I have hosted a concert of. I don't know, how does that all... It feels really great. Like I could go. Yeah, heartwarming to have you guys here and meet you. How is that a mutual feeling as well?
Yeah, of course. Like in the last 2 years that we released the album, you played so many of our songs. There's a lot of radio station in Montreal that didn't want to play. There's quite a few that played, but you're like one of the most that played a lot and pushed the album a lot. So
yeah, the really dedication to our cause is really heartwarming.
But yeah, we're really grateful and really thank you for inviting us.
At the end of it, are you excited to be playing? Yeah, well, actually, this is also your only Ontario show. You've just come out for my show here. Like, how are you guys so great? And for doing that, like, I'm impressed.
Well, I don't really mind all the road and everything. It's fun for me. And as I said, you played a lot of our songs and everything. So I just felt right to come and do that and have fun and... Especially meet the Guelph scene. I really was excited to meet all the people.
It's always interesting.
See what people like there, I think it's our second show in English because usually it's in Montreal and all the areas. So I do it in French. Usually in Montreal and some areas that are in English, I do both. But it's gonna be like the second time that I do the show and speak in English. It's gonna be a little bit. I hope I won't make some mistakes, but anyway, when I do the theatrical stuff, it's always in English, so
okay.
I won't be making some mistakes on that, but yeah, it's a little bit stressful, but I think it's going to be fine.
I think it would also be good like to add some French lyrics like for some of the songs. I think that would be really
maybe
special. All up to you, though. I am all for it.
Cool. Nice to know.
Yeah, so it seems like our time together, unfortunately, has come to an end for this audience. Is there anything anyone would like to chip in before we depart for the concert tonight?
Anything else?
Well, come to the show.
Well, I hope people will like it. That's just what we can hope for, I guess.
Listen to Le Greff and support us, support the local music scene, support indie music, like our page, share our page. That's the only way. Even if you don't like the music, if you know someone that might love it, share it with them. And that's pretty much it. It's just a like on our page. It's a big help for us, especially in those days in the digital age.
What are your social medias? Like you have Facebook, Instagram.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter,
Bandcamp.
YouTube, Bandcamp, yeah. And we were pretty much lucky. It's only / Le Greff. YouTube, it's / Le Greff Band or music, if I'm correct. Anyway, you'll check. Just write, if you look on Google, just write Le Greff music or band. Because if you write Le Greff, you'll find some skin grafts and some gross stuff.
Okay. Thanks, Sam.
Do you have something to say, Sam?
We're on the iTunes Store. So.
Oh, yeah. Sam wants to say that we're also on the iTunes Store. But who goes on the iTunes Store? I think it's pretty much Spotify and maybe YouTube Music now. So, oh, well, support us.
Well, thank you, all of you, for
being
here at this studio for this interview. And, yes, thanks again.
It was a pleasure.
Pleasure. Thanks.